What Women Must Know with Sheryl Selman, Mondays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello everyone, and welcome to What Women Must Know, a show about holistic perspectives and solutions for women's health matters. I'm your host, Dr. Sheryl Selman. I'm a naturopathic doctor, author, writer. I have actually another radio show on this very network every Sunday at 4 p.m. called the Women's Healing Circle. So I guess you might say I have a women's health network, little network going here, because that's really what my passion is, supporting women with truthful information, empowering them so they can make the most informed decisions possible. So I'm really thrilled that you are here with me today for another opportunity to have an in-depth conversation into a subject that women really must know. I recently came back from spending 7 weeks traveling around Australia on a lecture tour. And while I was on that tour, I was speaking about hormones and all sorts of topics related to the kinds of things women need to know to support their health, their bones, you know, menopause, perimenopause, premenopause, postmenopause, the whole journey. And as I had the wonderful opportunity to speak to so many women, it once again dawned on me that we are just trying so hard to understand how to address our hormonal issues, how to attend to the symptoms that are showing up, trying to make the right choices, trying to do the right things, and yet we are so short on really good quality, truthful information. So when I traveled around Australia, I met women who were taking bioidentical hormones in doses that were way too high, which could still create problems for them. I also was meeting those women and younger women who were put on implants for contraceptive purposes, which happens to contribute to depression and obesity, which was going on in all these women. And I found women were just so uncertain about what to do, trying so hard to make sense of all this, but not having an easy time of it. So that's really what my work is about. Of course, I wrote my book, Hormone Heresy, which is in its sixth printing. In fact, it was just released in Australia last month, actually. And so this is a show that I'd like to dedicate to all those women searching for answers and searching for a deeper and more profound understanding and appreciation for their bodies, their natural processes, and most importantly, the wisdom that abides within all of us that has the power to support our body's ability to rejuvenate and regenerate at any age, which even means we have the ability to supply our body with the foundational essences that will help create the hormones throughout our life. And just one little fact I'd like to throw in, since I'm here kind of talking about this passion of mine, very critical little fact, and that is that our ovaries continue to function the entire length of our lives. Yes, there are different productions of hormones. We reduce estrogen in menopause, but I have to announce, which really excites me, that our ovaries do not become extinct, nor do they wither away when we go into menopause. They continue to perform very important functions throughout our entire life. How do you like that? So as we continue on this theme today, I have asked one of my favorite guests to spend some time with us and help all of us to understand what is really the power that we have within us and what do we need to do to activate the healing ability to support our health and our hormones naturally throughout our entire life. So my guest today is Angelo Druta, who has more than 20 years of clinical experience with traditional Chinese medicine. He is a renowned Chinese herbalist. He is also the author of The Tao of Rejuvenation and someone who I personally seek out guidance from as I am learning to navigate through the various stages and challenges of my life. And he's here to talk about natural hormone rejuvenation. We have a most fascinating topic that we want to share with you today. So first of all, let me welcome you, Angelo, to the show.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
It's always great having you. We all learn, I learn, and you just have such a wealth of knowledge, particularly from a perspective that is not readily available to most of us unless someone has a particular interest in Chinese medicine. They probably wouldn't ever be exposed to what we're going to be talking about today. And what you are sharing with us, based upon the wisdom that the Chinese have been incorporating into their healing arts for thousands and thousands of years, we have great wisdoms for all the women, actually men too, because I'd like us to talk a little about men today, in regards to how to really support our health, our hormones, and the ability to rejuvenate throughout our life. So this is an exciting topic. I love talking about it. I have been so inspired by my studies of Chinese medicine and what I see happening in my body as I apply the principles and some of the healing strategies offered from Chinese medicine. So, Angelo, let's start with the wisdom that you have learned from Chinese medicine and as an herbalist. What do the Chinese ancients, the masters from the past, tell us in regards to natural hormone rejuvenation?
Well, the place to begin is for everybody to understand that the human body possesses an extremely powerful regenerative chemistry. I think that is the best place to begin. The human body has a tremendous regenerative potential. And just knowing that and just presuming that is a power in itself. So just as a good place to begin, we should appreciate the healing and rejuvenative power of the human body. Now, we all take for granted that when we get sick, at some point our immune system will eliminate the disease and we'll feel better. Even so, we tend to underestimate the regenerative power that the body really has. And when I was doing research for my book, which you mentioned, The Tao of Rejuvenation, I actually specifically researched incidences of profound healing, sudden and profound and unexpected healing. And when you go looking for these cases of profound and sudden healing, you actually discover that it happens quite often. Quite often a person is apparently in dire straits, and then suddenly their regenerative chemistry awakens in the body, and they're healed quickly. So I like to begin there, and I mention this just as a way of empowering people, and just it's something we have to know is there. It's something we even want to meditate on. We want to presume the power of our own bodies to heal and regenerate themselves. It's a good place to begin, and that is something the ancient understood, and they learned how to actually magnify that regenerative chemistry. And by the way, these ancient practitioners and these ancient doctors, they actually didn't know very much about hormones. They didn't actually look at the body at the level of hormones. They looked at the body as at the level of balance? Is there balance between all the organs in the body? Are all the natural substances in the body, the energies, the essences, are they full? Are they abundant? And they discovered that when the organs were brought into balance with one another in the body, when the energies and essences in the body were abundant and well-balanced, they noticed that people were healthy. They noticed that people were happy. They noticed that people also lived a good long time. So, relative to natural hormonal balance, the difference between the approach that is taken in Oriental medicine and the approach you spoke about in your introduction, in the modern West, when people age and deficiencies in the body begin to appear, and when deficiencies in the body begin to appear, then hormones begin to become irregular or out of balance or deficient. In the West, the approach is to put hormones into the body in order to address those hormone deficiencies. And nobody has spoken or written more than you, Cheryl, on the liabilities of that approach, and most certainly the liabilities in putting synthetic hormones into the body. Nowadays, even within the areas of, that we would refer to as alternative medicine, nowadays people continue to address the deficiencies of aging by putting hormones directly into the body. We now have bioidentical hormones, and these are a fairly recent development. And because the molecules of those hormones are more closely related or identical to the hormones in the human body, we presume that it's a safer approach. But we don't really have the 25, 30 years of experience as we do with synthetic hormones that allows us to look back and see the liabilities and the problems that this approach took. So this approach of putting hormones into the body in order to address aging deficiencies, the approach in Oriental medicine is address the aging deficiencies at their source. Address the deficiencies and essences that begin to show up as we age. Address the deficiencies and energies as they begin to show up as we age. Rather than putting in hormones, go directly to the source of these deficiencies, tonify these deficiencies, and we notice when we take that approach, but in the highest percentage of people, when we address deficient essences in the body, when we address the very substances from which the body is making the hormones, we notice when we bring those essence levels back up, we notice that the body's endocrine system begins to create the hormonal balance in a proper and excellent way. As no, the only way to describe it, only the human body knows the proper dosing of hormones. You mentioned the problem with dosing with hormones. Very, very difficult to get hormonal dosing correct. Well, the body knows how to get the hormonal dosing correct. So the approach in Oriental medicine is address the actual source deficiencies in the body, and the hormones will balance themselves out.
You know, I don't think there are too many voices out there that are questioning the use of what is now the most trendy approach to women's health, which is bioidentical hormones.
There's a few out there.
There are a few, but, you know, it's
got two
still,
of them right here.
We're doing our best. You know, I just see this, having tracked this trend for, 20 years or so, I was around when HRT was in its zenith, and then I saw it decline, and, of course, I was writing about the fact that women really don't have a deficiency of estrogen. They have estrogen dominance, and then that has become more generally accepted. And then as HRT went out of fashion because of the risks for breast cancer, then bioidentical hormones took its place, and women have been led to believe that that's actually a wonderful, safe option, that there are no side effects, no down, risks involved, that it's just a fabulous way to rejuvenate. But unfortunately, that's not the whole story. And women who are using bioidentical hormones, often they're being prescribed inappropriately based on misdiagnosis and another form of mistreatment, just like HRT was. And women are at risk then, and it can increase risk of a variety of health issues, including a risk of becoming very estrogen dominant and possibly even at risk for breast cancer. And, you know, women are being told to stay on these hormones, which are drugs, for decades and decades past menopause. In fact, I don't know what the age is when you're supposed to come off of them. I never see that in any of the literature. So it seems like women are just stuck on them because they're told they're going to keep them healthy and young and rejuvenated. So the fact of the matter is that even though you may be on these hormones, you are not necessarily rejuvenating your essences, and you may not be addressing the underlying causes that generated the symptoms that got you on these hormones, which means that these underlying imbalances are still occurring, and without being addressed, they just go deeper and become more chronic. So I have concerns about this approach and not really understanding the communication of symptoms and then taking appropriate action to heal at the root cause level, as I like to say.
Well, so do I. And, of course, in the West, we have had great experience now with absolutely ecstatic marketing claims. And then we have 20 years to look back in retrospect on the veracity of those claims. You can go back to Forever Young, you know, the great marketing, the opening marketing salvos in the marketing of hormone replacement therapy. And now we can look back on that approach, and we can see all kinds of liabilities and all kinds of problems that are created. So number one, we know that marketing, we live in a world in which we are overwhelmed with marketing claims, and it's up to everyone to sort through these marketing claims. Because they're not necessarily claims being made for the benefit of the person who's using these things. And we don't have 30 years of experience in bioidentical hormone replacement therapy at this point, so we don't know. As I say, getting the molecule identical to the molecule in the human body certainly seems like an improvement, but we don't know because, as you say, there are liabilities with putting any kind of a hormone into the body. The first liability is the fact that the body's own endocrine system becomes immediately lazy about producing these hormones itself. And this is something we always see. People who use hormone replacement therapy, when they begin to try and get off those hormones, they begin to discover how dependent their endocrine systems have become on those hormones. Another thing you mentioned, which I know is my experience here in the clinic, is I continue to see people coming into the clinic who are using bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and they continue to show imbalances, all kinds of imbalances. So at the very least, I can say that the bioidentical hormone replacement therapy is not a panacea. It is not eliminating all these imbalances, as you indicate. And again, I'm not saying no one should ever use these things. I'm not coming from an absolute point of view. But what I am saying is there are certainly steps that precede the introduction of hormones into the body. And if you take those steps, in my experience, people do not need to move on to the step of putting hormones into the body. There are many, many ways to bring the body into balance, right life, right diet, right exercise. To begin with, eat good foods, exercise the body properly, and then we find growing on the earth just so many amazing plant medicines that are in themselves actually hormone precursors. In other words, when you put certain medicinal herbs into the body, it stimulates hormone production in the body in a much safer way than actually putting the hormones themselves into the body. So there are steps that precede it, and if you try these steps, and in the rare case where someone is absolutely not getting the response they need, then this is something that may be considered. But with all forms of medicine, the place to begin is with the lowest risk medicine. That's where you begin, with the least invasive, the safest form of medicine first. And the safest form of medicine for the human body is to eat well, to exercise, and when you require medicines, the first safest step is to use plant medicines that have been used for thousands of years safely and effectively.
So there are some basic principles. You always talk about three basic principles for hormone rejuvenation and or overall rejuvenation of the body. So, well, why don't we explore them, Angelo?
Well, the first principle I already opened with, which is the body has a profound and powerful regenerative chemistry. Knowing that, assuming it, presuming it, in itself awakens that chemistry. When we're depressed, we can feel that our regenerative chemistry is also repressed and depressed. When we're happy, ecstatic, and full of love, we can feel that the regenerative chemistry in our body is powerful. So that's the first principle, really. And knowing that and assuming it is in itself something that stimulates the body's regenerative chemistry. So that is the first principle. The second principle, and we've alluded to it already, but let's get a little more specific about it. The body contains living essences. There are living essences in the body from which the body actually manufactures hormones. And these essences get deficient as we age. In somewhere around the age of 50 years, both men and women are beginning to show signs of the deficiencies, the normal, ordinary deficiencies in the body, by virtue of having lived a life for 50 years. These deficiencies can begin to start showing themselves around the age of 40, and we've created names for these stages of deficiency. For example, something like perimenopause is really just a name that's pointing to the fact that somewhere in the late 40s, a woman is becoming deficient and it's affecting her hormonal balance. So the second principle is, rather than introduce hormones into the body, replenish the essences from which the hormones are being made. And in Chinese medicine, these are called the yin essences in the body. They are stored primarily in the kidneys, and then those essences are circulated out to all the other organ systems. In the past, we have talked about the Chinese law of aging. The Chinese law of aging is enunciated as the yang consumes the yin. The fire and activity of living a life begins to use up the deeper, moist yin essences in the body. And when you begin to check people out in their late 40s or around the age of 50, almost everybody, when they come into the clinic, shows a deficiency in these yin essences around that time of life. Those yin essences are the very substances from which the hormones are being made. And hundreds of years ago, I didn't invent this at all, hundreds of years ago, early Chinese doctors observed these deficiencies in these essences. They went out into nature and found, talk about bioidentical, they found plants that contained the bioidentical essences themselves that were now becoming deficient in the human body. They found these plants. They created blends of these particular plants. And they introduced them into the body, and they began to notice over time that these essence levels began to respond and come back. One of the simplest ways to observe this is a woman can come into the clinic, beginning to enter into that change of life that we call menopause. And what's the primary complaint of women in menopause? Well, the primary complaint tends to be hot flashes, hot flushing. A woman will come into the clinic with hot flushing. She's hot. These flushes are rising up from the base of the body. Her head is getting, her face is getting red. Her head is getting hot. The heat may be disrupting her normal sleep patterns. And we give a woman a yin essence formula, and she takes it for several weeks, and you can just watch almost on a daily basis the hot flushes get less and less frequent until such time that those yin levels are brought back to normal and the hot flushes disappear and many of these symptoms disappear. Well, this is an approach that's been taken for hundreds of years. It was first developed in the gynecological specialties that first appeared in traditional Oriental medicine. So this replenishment of the essences in the body is a fundamental principle for hormonal balance. And I always point out that this concept is not well understood in the West, even within medical systems, even within the alternative medical systems, this concept is not that well understood. And people completely understand this concept in relationship to their car. They know that the automobile has spark plugs, there's fire, there's yang being created in that engine, a little explosion of fire in order for the car to go. Well, it's that little explosion of qi in the body moment to moment so that the body can do its work. But there's also a coolant in the body. And everybody that has a driver's license knows that if you let that coolant get too low in the car, then the heat from those spark plugs is going to begin to damage the equipment. Well, the human body is quite similar. The human body has its essence, its coolants. And so we need, as we age, to replenish and refresh those coolants, those yin essences. And if they're even, and those essences are more than a coolant. They are actually the very substratum from which the hormones are made. So in Oriental medicine, that is usually our first approach to hormonal imbalance is let's check those yin levels, let's bring those yin levels up. And it works quite effectively. And of course, people in our line of work, many of the people that come to people like you, Cheryl, and people like me, are already interested in non-invasive alternative approaches to their health and well-being. And these people are committed to these regimes, and they get very, very good results. And one thing I just want to add in right here, as I said earlier, over the course of my research, you discover that within these traditional medical systems, there were ancient experts on how to allow people to live long and healthy lives. And you find a lot of people that lived long and healthy lives before a time that anyone knew about hormone replacement therapy. So there is a great tradition and body of evidence showing that people have lived long and healthy lives long before anybody thought of hormone replacement therapy. So that second principle is the principle of maintain and replenish and tonify the fundamental essences in the body.
Angela, why don't we hold that second principle until we come back from a break? But I want to say before we take a short little station break that this principle of replenishing the essences is so profound, and it's it's something that as we tend to go through our life stages, the natural tendency is to get more deficient in those essences. But But I guess stress and poor diet and environmental toxins and all of those things just add to this diminishment of the deficiency. Is that true?
They certainly do. They certainly do.
Okay, well, we're going to be learning more, so stay tuned. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. We're talking with Angelo Druda today about natural hormone rejuvenation. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. We are back. You are listening to What Women Must Know, and we are having a really, really important conversation today with my guest, Angelo Druda, the author of Tao of Rejuvenation and a renowned Chinese herbalist who's been practicing for over 20 years. And we are learning the wisdom from the ancient Chinese healers explaining the ability that we all have to rejuvenate our hormones naturally. And listen up, everyone, this is really important information. This is an entirely different understanding that we have ever been given about what's going on with our hormones and how to keep them balanced and flowing throughout all of our decades. So we were talking about the principles of hormone rejuvenation. Angelo, in the previous segment, covered the first principle of our ability to regenerate these essences, and we're now going into the second principle. So, Angelo, over to you.
Well, good. We're actually going into the third principle now.
Third principle, sorry. Okay.
The second one was replenish those deeper essences. The first one was right life causes the body's regenerative chemistry to optimize and maximize. Right diet, right exercise. I was just listening to Dr. Len Zaputo on the break, talking about how critical exercise is for life extension, for longevity, and I absolutely affirm what Dr. Len is saying there. And so the third principle that we want to talk about today and is the matter of right cultivation of the blood is critical to health and longevity. And the blood really is another extension of these deep essences in the body. And as we age, the blood does tend to become deficient. And blood deficiency is a pattern that's very common to women, not surprisingly, since women bleed every month for the sake of reproduction. Even younger women can show signs of significant blood deficiency. So the third principle is one that was really pioneered by our friend Count Dracula. I always point out that there's some very real wisdom hidden in that story about Dracula, who was rejuvenating himself from generation to generation through the blood. And now I don't recommend the same technique of blood cultivation that Dracula used. We can cultivate the blood.
I'm relieved.
but it works good for movies. But the concept of the blood being critical to longevity is absolutely there, and it absolutely was understood by the ancients. So if we learn to rejuvenate the blood production in the body, and if we learn how to increase blood circulation in the body, and for women, particularly increase blood circulation to the ovaries themselves, then in this process of right cultivation of the blood, we are affecting a profound regeneration of the hormonal flows in the body. And right cultivation of the blood, again, here, this is something that points to right diet, eating the right foods, eating the foods that actually allow the body to make an abundant supply of blood.
But what are those foods, Angelo? Let's give some specifics so people can look at their diets and see.
We can begin with specifically good quality food, good fruits and vegetables. The body can make good quality blood from good fruits and vegetables, just to keep it very simple. good salads, those raw, bitter, dark greens, great blood foods. Good, fresh, organic fruits, great blood foods. And even foods like brown rice, our typical brown rice stir fries full of good organic vegetables, good blood foods. Beyond that, the flesh foods are good blood foods. There's no doubt about it. Fish, chicken, even red meats are good blood foods. They don't necessarily need to be consumed in abundance. For people who are showing signs of significant blood deficiency, a little bit of flesh foods several times a week is usually will do the job. For people who are severely blood deficient, then something like red meat on occasion will also do the job. So good organic flesh foods are powerful blood tonics. A powerful blood food, if people don't want to resort to flesh foods, if people are vegetarians, brown rice mochi.
This is a can you spell that?
M-O-C-H-I.
Good, okay, just so people know. They probably don't know about that food either, unless they take a little wander down.
If they go to a health food store, they go to their Whole Foods kind of health food store, and they look in the refrigerated section, or perhaps they might be freezing it, they can see this brown rice mochi, which is actually brown rice pounded, so it brings out the essential rice protein, comes up as a kind of gum. And you can just bake that brown rice mochi. That is a powerful blood tonic.
Mm-hmm.
And people can just bake it in their ovens, and it comes with various flavors, and you can put a little sweetener on it, and it's actually quite a lovely food. And then within the realm and domain of medicinal herbs, there are some absolutely premier blood tonics appearing in nature. And in fact, hundreds of years ago, Chinese doctors discovered these herbs and discovered that the essential oils in these herbs were powerful blood precursors. And herbs like Angelica sinensis, which is known as Dongguei, the root of the peony plant, Ligusticum wallichii, the Romania plant. Many of these plants are roots, and they are loaded and thick with essential oils that are beautiful blood precursors. And the Chinese made formulas out of these herbs, and these formulas actually became the foundation upon which their gynecological specialty was actually developed, because these formulas were so effective in serving and regenerating women's health and creating hormonal balance in a woman's body that when you go into the gynecological textbooks now, you just see these same formulas being repeated and modified over and over again, because these essential oils cause the body to produce an abundance of blood, and they also cause the body to increase blood circulation throughout the body, and particularly to the ovaries. And when you refresh the ovaries with an abundant supply of good quality blood, and the ovaries are going to handle the dosing on your reproductive hormones. They're just going to take care of it for you. You don't have to think about it. It's autonomic. You don't have to think about it. So these blood herbs are just absolutely effective. I've worked with them for years, and they're quite miraculous.
Can you give an example, some examples of, you know, I want people who are listening to understand, first of all, maybe just go through some of the symptoms or conditions that are related to the blood deficiencies. Let's start there, and then we can go back to the yin deficiencies before the break. But what are some of the symptoms that women have that indicate they have blood deficiency? And maybe you can tell us some of your clinical experience of when people take these herbs, what are the changes that go on?
Well, one of the most, one of the strongest symptoms, one of the clearest symptoms of blood deficiency many times is women's periods will stop. They'll start missing periods from month to month. And one of the common reasons why a woman will miss her period, it's not always the case, but many times it's because the body, her body is blood deficient. Her body is not producing enough blood to actually create a period each month. Another sign, which is a scanty menstrual flow, which is the, well, the blood, there's enough blood to have a little bit of flow, but it's a scanty flow. Blood deficiency could manifest as dry skin. It manifests as dry hair. Sometimes people are noticing their hair is starting to fall out. They're starting to see a lot of hair on their brush. This can be a blood deficiency sign. What else? Sometimes women are starting to get dizzy, feeling a little bit out of balance. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes this can be caused by blood deficiency. Well, let's go with the most graphic sign, the most obvious sign. A period is not happening. Woman will come in. First thing we like to do is check out her diet, make sure she hasn't been starving herself, and make sure she's eating good foods so that the body can produce an abundant supply of blood. Many times this blood deficiency is being caused by very high levels of stress in the body. That can be a little bit more difficult matter to address and change. And then we will put the woman on a correct combination of these herbs and ask her to take them 2 to 3 times a day over a period of several weeks, several months, until such time as the period begins to come back.
I want to just jump in here, Angela, because it's a sign that a woman is healthy. And this really just bugs me when we put women on contraceptives to eliminate menstruating women. We put them on the pill for the purpose of eliminating their menstrual cycle so they don't have a bleed. But we have strayed so far from the truth of our own bodies to believe that not having a period, not bleeding, is a healthy sign, when in fact it really is not a healthy sign. Can you comment on that?
Yes. Don't do this to the human body. That's what I have to say about it. From my perspective and from the perspective of Oriental medicine, certainly from the perspective of many of these ancient rejuvenation schools, the main principle is to not suppress the body, not to invade the body with these kinds of strategies. Allow the body to harmonize itself. Allow the body to harmonize with the season that the body is in. Allow the body to harmonize with the stage of life that it is in. This strategy, which is rooted in a marketing strategy where people will be happiest if they stay as eternal teenagers, it's not true. Where you have to force these processes, invasive processes into the body in order to create youthfulness, it's absolute nonsense. I mean, we are interfering with processes in the body that have been going on in the human body. They are the product of thousands of years of evolution. And it is only the most amazing arrogance of modern man thinks he can just go in there and mess around with these systems that have been developed over thousands of years of evolution, and everything is going to be fine. We can just interfere with anything and it'll all be okay. No, when you interfere with these evolutionary processes in the body, there's a price to be paid for this. And a woman's period, stopping that intentionally and forcibly stopping a woman's period is not something that I recommend. I know it's not something that you recommend at all.
Right. The other thing I wanted to ask you, because you talked about the use of herbs, and I have to say that I am way past my menopausal years, and I do not take bioidentical hormones, but I do take herbal formulas that you have made for me based on these principles. And, I feel great. I love them. I feel like they are supporting my rejuvenation and staying, filled with energy and, this skin and all the functions working. I mean, everything's looking good without these hormones. So I'm a big fan of what you're doing. I subscribe to it. I believe in it. I've been using them for years. I see the results of them. And I know these are formulas that you have made available for people. In fact, I'll just let people know if they want to learn more about the formulas that Andrew has created based on these ancient recipes, the ancient wisdom, then just go to his website, traditionalbotanicalmedicine.com, because he has information there. I wanted to ask you a question, Angelo. I know that vegans and vegetarians, for a number of reasons, tend to be more amenorrhea. They tend to have more hormonal problems, especially if they've been a vegetarian or vegan for a long period of time. Are these herbal formulas something that women can use if they are not eating meat, which helps to actually build the blood?
Absolutely. This is something that vegans really want to take a look at, particularly if they're women and they're showing some of these signs of blood deficiency that we've talked about here today. These are plant oils, and they will really serve as part of their vegetarian diet to ensure that the blood production is really quite good and necessary to ensure good hormonal flows, ensure abundant blood supply to the ovary. So yes, these formulas are good. If people go to traditionalbotanicalmedicine.com, there are two formulas there based on classical wisdom. One is that great essence formula, which replenishes the deeper essences of the body, as we've discussed. And the other one is cultivation, which is a formula that addresses the blood supply in the body. And one thing I want to mention about some of the herbs that we've been talking about and the herbs that are contained in those two formulas is that several years ago, scientists at the University of Texas in Houston went and purchased a bunch of these herbs down in their local Chinatown, and they studied these herbs from the point of view of cardiovascular health. And they discovered that these herbs were powerful nitric oxide precursors. And some people will know that the body produces nitric oxide in order to regenerate the cardiovascular system. And when there is an abundant production of nitric oxide in the body, then the circulatory pathways expand, and the inner layer and lining of the circulatory pathways become slippery, and they expand to become slippery, and the whole potential for stroke and embolism and obstructive cardiovascular disease is greatly diminished. And scientists at the University of Texas found out that many of these Chinese herbs were excellent nitric oxide precursors. And here is another traditional use for these same herbs, which increase blood production in the body and increase blood circulation to the ovaries, and were used within the gynecological specialty to create hormonal balance. These same herbs are also used within the cardiovascular specialty to create heart health and cardiovascular health. So there is an added bonus, you see, at the level of life extension. The same herbs that are used to regenerate the heart and the cardiovascular system will also rejuvenate and balance out the hormonal system in the body. These are plant substances, and they're readily available. People can get them from their naturopath. They can get them from their Chinese, their Oriental medical practitioner. They can go onto my website and begin to familiarize themselves with it. This is ancient wisdom still available in modern times, and both you and I, Cheryl, see on a daily basis in our clinic how well these plants continue to work even today.
You know, I put many of my patients who are showing symptoms of hormonal imbalance and, you know, these deficiencies of these essences on your herbal formulas, herbal tinctures, which I have to say, I also want to let people know, you make them out of organic herbs, so they are really the highest quality. And I've seen tremendous improvement in changes and regeneration and balancing naturally. So it really provides an option. And I agree with you. You know, do women need bioidentical hormones? Well, it depends how deficient and how out of balance you become, because the more you have strayed from the path, the more compromised the body is, and you may need to rapidly increase some of those hormone levels with bioidentical hormones based on taking a saliva test, not on a blood test. And I've talked about this many times on the show. You've got to get a saliva test to properly assess hormones before you ever agree to use bioidentical hormones, especially the estrogen part of it. And But I love healing at the root cause level. I love the knowledge that our bodies have the ability to create these essences at all stages of our life, and that we need to nourish them with the foods and with the specific herbal formulas that have been developed over eons of time, so they have been perfected in their greatest ability to impact and support these changes. So we have a few minutes left. Do you have anything you just want to wrap this conversation up with, Angelo?
Well, as you said, let's say a word about men's health here. Everything we talked about relative to maintaining the essences of the body and the blood supply and circulation pertains to men. And then beyond that, if men are worried about dropping testosterone levels, there are perfectly effective plant materials, herbs that can be used to bring up the testosterone levels for men and for women also. So all of this also pertains to men. These are strategies that are effective in a man's body, and within the plant kingdom there are many good, safe, and effective herbs that naturally boost testosterone levels in a man's body and in a woman's body. And like you, I'm well beyond the age of andropause, and I am deep into my 60s, and I do an amazing amount of work all week, as you know, as we tend to do in our lives. We work hard, people coming into the clinic all week, and I have not had to resort to hormone replacement therapy at all, but I do practice the strategies that we've talked about here today. And right. I know you do too.
Right. And I think they're such important principles, and if you do follow them and practice these strategies, it really holds the promise of being able to rejuvenate and regenerate our bodies throughout the years, which is what so excites me. Angelo, let's give people your website again if they want to know more about your work, consultations, or to get some of these herbal tinctures that you've created.
Thank you. The website is traditionalbotanicalmedicine.com. You can also get to it from tbmedicine.com. The book is The Tao of Rejuvenation, which is on amazon.com. It's also on the website, tbmedicine.com. So if anybody wants to get a hold of us or check out some of the things we're talking about, it's on the website. And thank you, Cheryl, for an opportunity to speak freely about these matters. Much appreciated.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you as always. It's such an enlightening conversation, Angelo. Thank you for being with us today. And to all of you listening, thank you for being with me today. You've been listening to What Women Must Know. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. We've had Angelo Druda as my guest today talking about natural hormone rejuvenation. And I look forward to having you join me again every week, every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.